up. Full satisfaction is given to the law and justice. Do you hear it? Do you hear the call of the gospel? Look at this response. Verse 5. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. You know what, folks? They made light of it. They neglected it. They did not listen to it. They did not even pay attention to it. We already saw a response, right? Where they just solidly refused to say, I'm not going to hear this. Now, this response is a little bit different. Okay, here's this response. This response says, okay, I heard it. I understand it. I hear it. But I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not going to do anything about it. I hear it. I listened. It went in one ear, but it kind of went out the other. Okay, I'm not going to do anything about this. They neglected it. They did not regard it. They neglected the ministry of the gospel. They did not care for it. They did not show any regard to it. They did not, you know, they did not mind what they heard. They let it slip and forget it. When they are unconcerned for it, their thoughts are employed about other things. When the gospel and the ordinances of it are looked upon as things of no importance, I got other things to do in my life. I don't have time for the gospel. Oh, my. It says they went their own ways. They turned their back on the gospel. They went their own ways. They pursued their own worldly desires. They pursued their own worldly inclinations, their own ways, their own methods of life. Folks, don't let that be you either. Don't let that be you either. I know a pastor from this pulpit, he preaches the Word of God constantly to you. He presents the gospel clearly to you. I know when I grew up in this church, the gospel was presented. Don't be one who listens but does not do anything to the gospel. Don't be that way. There's no reason. Listen to Genesis 19:14. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Acts 24:25. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. Romans 2:4. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Don't you understand, folks, that God already paid the price for you? All you have to do is accept it. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Verse 6. The remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. the remaining ones, the rest, those that did not go to their farm or their merchandise. They entreated them spitefully. They exercised violence. They abused them. They reproached them. They persecuted them. Folks, I even, way back, right? Way back in the Old Testament, you had Ezekiel, you had Daniel, you had Malachi, you had all those prophets. They went through this, right? You had John the Baptist who was preaching. He was persecuted. He even had his head cut off because of his message, right? You had Jesus. He was not understood either. He was not believed in either. We should expect the same when we go out and do God's work. People are not always going to hear us. People are not always going to believe us. People aren't always going to accept us. Remember being in Ghana. Thing about being in Ghana was people understood the gospel. They knew, had knowledge, what the gospel was all about. But you know, they didn't believe it in their heart. They knew the words to say. They knew the verses to say. They said it all out. But they didn't believe it in their heart. It didn't go down into their heart. Folks, don't let this be you. Verse 7. Let's keep going here. Verse 7. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. He was wroth. He had orgizo. He was provoked. He was enraged. He became exasperated. See, the Jews had been once the people of God's blessing, but now they are here and they're saying, I don't want to hear this. They're saying, look, I have other things to do. I hear it. I understand it. I'm not going to do anything about it. And God was mad because they killed his prophets. They refused to listen to him. And he sent forth, he transmitted, he dispatched his armies. Sometimes when we think of armies, folks, we're thinking of the angels in heaven, right? It's not what we're talking about now. To picture here in the parable, God is saying, look, destruction is coming. Okay, I already have a plan in place. My armies are going to be sent. And those armies are the Roman armies. They're going to be sent. They're going to kill you. And they're going to destroy Jerusalem. And it happened, folks, under Titus as Vespasian. 40 years later, it happened. They burned up Jerusalem. Some 40 years later, they put to the sword the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They burned the city to ashes. Verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Folks, I told you there were three types of servants here. There were three pictures of the servants. First one was the Hebrew prophets, John the Baptist, and Jesus. And I said second one was those who helped the apostles up to the time of the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, folks, we're getting to our age. Us. We are the servants in verse number 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready. Hey, the wedding is ready. The Lamb of God was slain. All things to be done by him were finished. The ministers of the gospels, the apostles were called. Their commission was enlarged. It's ready, folks. God already paid everything for you. It's ready. But then he says, but they which were bidden were not worthy. They were not deserving. They were not meet because they put it off. They didn't listen to me. They stiff-armed me. By the will, they said no. But they said they had other things to do. They are not worthy. Now, verse 9, go into the highways. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage folk. This is our responsibility. Go ye into the highways. Now that word highway has to do with an outlet, an open square from which roads come in. It's a place where all these roads come in. It'd be like going downtown, right across from the courthouse, that square where all these different roads come into it. God says, go there. Go there. And as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Bring them into the gospel dispensation. Bring them to believe, accept, and believe me. Folks, the invitation is no longer to the Jews. It's also to the Gentiles. We have a responsibility, folks. We have a responsibility. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we know that one. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We have Mark 16, 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You have John. As my Father has sent me, even so, you know it. You know this. So why aren't we doing it together? We are the servants. We need to be doing this. Verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. This is highway is different than verse 9. This highway means any road that is traveled by people. Okay? It's not just an open square where roads come in. It's anywhere that you find people. Go tell them about the gospel. Go tell them. Bring them into the family of God. Not just by head knowledge, but by the heart. Okay? Go. That's our job. I've been to a lot of churches the last 2 years. And I like it when I go into a church and I look behind me when I come into the church building. And they have a sign up over their door. And I like this sign. I mention it every time I preach that at that church. It says, you are now entering the... See? You are now entering the mission field. So the servants went out into the highways, anywhere people were found, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. People of every type, right? And the wedding was furnished with guests. It was full. It was completely furnished. It was filled. Folks, we need to preach the gospel without making any distinction between anybody. God has paid the price for everyone to accept it. We need to preach it to everyone. Let's finish this up. Verse 11. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. We're now getting after the gospel dispensation, the time we live in now. And these next four verses are talking about the judgment seat, the judgment day of Christ. The king came in to see his guest. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. You know what, folks? God takes notice of those who profess religion and have a place and name in the visible church, but don't truly believe him in the heart. God notices that. I believe verse 10 or verse 11 is a warning to us about being hypocrites. Hey, I do. Because here's this man that came in. He didn't come in by way of the servants at the door, because everyone that came in by that way would have got on a wedding garment, something that said that they came in the right way. And here's God looking over his people and said, wait a minute. Somebody here does not belong. They came in their own way. That's the third way of reacting to the gospel. They came in their own way. The gospel is the wedding feast. The wedding garment is a frame of heart and a course of life agreeable to the gospel and our profession of it. Folks, listen to me very closely. God loves you, and you know that. I know that. But God does not want you to come to church just for outward action. God does not want you to come to church just because you are expected to or you have to. You know what God is more concerned about? Samuel, when he was looking for the king, came to David, right? And God said, this is the one. Why? Because all his brothers were big and they strong, right? They were nice guys, nice sized men. But God told Samuel, man does not look on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. Folks, don't come in dressed in your nice suit. Sit down in this pews. Listen to God's word spoken and think that's enough, because God wants your heart. He does not want the appearance. He wants the heart. A garment of salvation is yours, performed by the hands of the Savior and dyed in his blood. But the hypocrite chooses the filthy rags of his own righteousness and thus offers the highest contempt for that provided in the gospel. Folks, don't come in your own way. Don't come in with the biggest Bible, with the nicest suit, with the nicest ties. Because God does not want that. He wants to know you. He wants your heart. Finish up verse 12. He saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? How did you get in here? You didn't come in here by me. You didn't come in here by my servants. You didn't come in here by my gospel. How did you get in here? And you see the response. He was speechless. He had nothing to say because he had no excuse. God stands to you. He says, how did you get into my kingdom? What will you say to him? What will you say to him? Verse 13, then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And folks, these servants right here are not human servants. These are the angels. God the Father speaking to his angels, saying, take him, bind him hand and foot, give him no way of escape. Cast him into outer darkness. You ever know what outer darkness feels like? Outer darkness means there's no light anywhere. There's not even a single ray of light coming in. I was just at a church a few weeks back in West Virginia, and they put us up in the prophet's chamber inside the church building. Very nice. Had a bed and a pull-out couch and different things, but no windows. No windows. Do you know what? That was nice because we could sleep in, but it was, when you had to get up at night, it was hard because there was no ray of light. Those who come into the church their own way, those who come into the family of God their own way, will be in a place by God where there's no light. And there'll be gnashing of teeth. The grinding of the teeth because of the pain they will experience. Folks, do you hear the call of the gospel? It says in verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. Folks, many are invited. Many are invited to this wedding, this gospel. Many are there. But only a few will respond to the call and receive it by faith. Do you hear it? I know. I told you a parable. I told you its meaning. Let me ask you three questions. Maybe we need to do something here. Let me ask you these three questions, and I'll pray, and then Pastor can come up and close as he wishes. Let me ask you these three questions. Have you heard and received the gospel? Why not today if you have it? Have you heard and received the gospel? If not, why not do it today? Number two, is the gospel truth in your heart and coming out of your life? Or are you just pretending to be saved by your actions and it's not in your heart? Are you one of those people that show Christianity? Are you those people that show it because of your love for God? Is there, and number three, is there anything that you need to make right with God this morning? What better place with people who love you? What better place with people who care for you than to get right with God this morning, to accept the call of the gospel, to receive it as your own, to make right with God that you have just been putting on a show for him but not been doing it by the heart? Do something this morning if God shows you. Do it. Do you hear the call of the gospel? Let's pray, and I will... Pastor will come up during the middle. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, you have burdened me with this passage. You have showed me this passage because it's not just for these people. It's also for me. Lord, I pray that if there's any decision that needs to be made, whether coming to know you as personal Lord and Savior this morning or getting right with God because we only put on a show of our Christianity, but we don't do it because we really love you and do it from the heart because you want our heart. Lord, if there's any other decision that needs to be made to be right with you this morning, to be able to go out and share the gospel with those around us, let's do it today. Let's get right. Let's do the work that you have called us to do. Lord, just use us. Help us. We are your servants. We are your people. We need you to guide and direct us to do what you have commanded us to do. Father, use us, please. Pastor.
Maybe you've heard this message.